really good to have support up here singing the hymns now. I can stay much better with the melody, with all, better over with the sopranos. But it's hard to believe that our first year in ministry together has passed. And it truly, truly has been an amazing year for me. Every area of this church's ministry over the last year has impressed me. I hope that somehow during this first year I have told you how wonderful you really are. What a fine example all of you are setting for other churches. I have a chance to sit down and talk with my colleagues, and what I say is, they're doing church the way church should be done. If someone had come up to me a few years ago, as a minister in a position for 17 years, as a single widower, looking at life ahead, if you had shown me what was to come in my life, what the coming attractions are, I would have never believed you. As Kathy and I drove those 2,000 miles from Los Angeles to Milwaukee this last part of August, I did some thinking as we drove through the beauty of this country, wondering about what God has in store for us next. How can we in this church see what's ahead? What are the coming attractions in our church here in Wauwatosa and in our world? As we begin a new church year together, what will our future be like? Well, where do we look for answers? We're people of the Word, so we find our greatest ally as Christians in facing these uncertain times in our world, that our vision will come from God. As God helps us to look forward, to move forward as not only individuals, but as a church family here. Our vision will help us to journey forward with a hope, with an anticipation, with the same excitement that you folks have had over the last year. Maybe our vision as Christians can give us a preview of what those coming attractions might be for us. But first, what do we mean when we talk about vision? Vision is a biblical word we hear a lot. It's probably most synonymous with the word revelation. Now, a vision is a revelation from God. Visions were the guiding light and force for many of the prophets in the Hebrew Scripture and many of the leaders down through history. Visions in the Scripture were a way of communicating God's interaction, communicating God's guidance to His people. Now, I've told you before that one of the most familiar examples of vision in the Bible is that of the Christmas story. One of the things that's most familiar, most dear to all of our hearts. It's full of the visions and dreams as God chooses Mary and Joseph for very special roles in His ultimate revelation. The visions helped Mary and Joseph to see what was ahead for their son Jesus. They certainly didn't understand what was going on. But this vision for the future and their deep faith sent them forward. I'm sure scared and alone, but at the same time filled with a deep hope and a deeper faith in God. Now, there were times in the biblical record when visions were not all that plentiful. This was the case during the beginning of Samuel's ministry. This section of Scripture falls between really the two high points of the Hebrew Scripture. The one high point, of course, was the Exodus and the charismatic leadership of Moses guiding the captive Jews out of Israel, out of Egypt to the Promised Land. And the other high point on the other side was when David was the king of Israel. It was during David's reign that Israel as a nation was at its strongest. Kind of similar in our country as we think back to the years of the Kennedy years and the Camelot of the late 50s and early 60s. During these high points in Israel's history, visionary leadership was very apparent. The vision of such leaders as Moses and David helped to lead and shape the people of Israel. But there was an in-between time, and maybe I latch onto this because somehow I look at modern society and I think we too are in that in-between time. This in-between time with Moses and David was a very dark, a very bleak one. There were a few charismatic leaders that were around, and they were known as the judges. And if you're a good student of the Bible, you will have waded through that tedious book of Judges. They were people who led the people of Israel through very specific crises in their history. But for the most part, Israel dealt with a lot of discord, a lot of confusion during this era. Now the last verse of the book of Judges seems to sum up the mood of that time period. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Now that's the setting for today's lesson. Visionary leadership was rare, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. And without vision, Israel was not able to grow or prosper or even function, really. So in our lesson, Samuel received a vision. And this vision really wasn't all that welcomed by Samuel. Because Samuel was told that Eli, the high priest, and Samuel's mentor, and all of his household would be punished. And that the Ark of the Covenant, the very symbol of Israel's identity, the cave contained the remains of the Ten Commandments, would be captured by the enemy. But by heeding this vision, Israel began to rebound and move forward as a people. I look at the world around us and I realize the vision from God hasn't stopped. I don't think God stopped giving us a vision for the future when the Bible was canonized. Or in today's world, I do think, though, that people are less sensitive to God's voice. Vision is not something that always is present in our world, and right now we could use some vision from the Lord. It doesn't always come when we want it. Vision comes to us according to God's grace, not by our works, not by our efforts. But sometimes vision comes at the most inconvenient and inopportune times. For Samuel, the vision from God came right out of the blue. Now, I don't think the situation is hopeless in our world. I think we are some of the remnant of hope that is there for the Christian church. And there are ways that can make us receptive, make us more ready to catch the visions that God may give to us. Visions that will make us stronger as people, stronger as a church and as a community. The first thing that I believe vision requires is commitment. And this is something that has been overwhelming in my time back here in the Midwest. The commitment is centered on Jesus Christ. And only when there is commitment behind a vision from God will people listen and respect what's being said. I think about every time a couple brings a baby to be baptized, and we stand up here and they make promises. When they're doing so, they have a kind of vision for the future for their child, a vision of a Christ-like life. But for that vision to have meaning, and the parents really have to be committed to the ways of Christ. It's so very hard, especially in today's fast-paced world, to commit yourself to really living the Christian way. But true, deep-down commitment to learning and sharing the ways of Christ, I think is a real starting place for gaining vision for the journey ahead. The second thing that our vision requires is competence. People will listen to our visions of a world ruled by love if it's backed up by solid education and knowledge. Samuel's visionary leadership was respected because he was perceived to be a competent individual. His competence was based on solid biblical and religious training. People will best perceive visions from God when there's some understanding of God's ways, as we learn from the Bible and from tradition. Now, this doesn't mean that each of you has to enroll in seminary and become a biblical expert. But it does mean that vision will come to those who are willing to study and explore the Christian faith. Finally, vision requires passion. Now, as suburban congregationalists, we're not known for being a passionate people. As Midwesterners, we're more likely to be reserved and bring a covered dish along. But passion for what we believe in will help others to hear what we're doing here. This last year, you have been a passionate, excited, energized people. And it's influenced not only those who are sitting in the pew next to you, but others in your life with whom you've shared it. This is what we must nurture. We have to continue this to be effective. The passion that we have as a congregation lives for truth. A passionate person is dedicated to something much bigger, much better than they are. We're called to be passionate people as Christians. Visions of the Christian way will best be received from God and shared with others when there is that fervor, that intensity, that yearning and that passion. Now is the time, as we begin a new year together, to catch this vision with commitment and confidence and passion. This church year, we need to work together to catch visions from God and then share them with the world. I think we're up to the task. Amen.